We've been going through the life of David, and there's so much recorded in Scripture that I'm not going to bore you to death with. I'm trying to hit the highlights and where I think that it's applicable for you and me today. The timeless truths that we see David experiencing and going through, even his blunders we're going to see. He made some major ones later on after becoming king, that God never left him. And so we're going to be in chapter 31 of 1 Samuel just for a little bit, then in 2 Samuel chapter 1. King Saul is still the king, but his time is running out now. Been years since God had anointed David. He said, "You're going to be king," but it's years and years later. The Philistines had regained strength since years had passed, since David had killed the Philistine champion, who was Goliath. All right. And so in verses 1 and 2, we see that Philistines had taken over the children of Israel and King Saul and so forth. And I want you to read with me in 1 Samuel chapter 31, verses 3 and 4, and this will update us a little bit about what has just happened. "The battle went heavily against Saul, and the archers hit him, and he was badly wounded by the archers. Then Saul said to his armor bearer, 'Draw your sword, pierce me through it with it, otherwise these uncircumcised,'" talking about those that are not Jews and had been circumcised, "'will come and pierce me through and make a sport of me.' But his armor bearer would not, for he was greatly afraid. So Saul took his sword, fell on it. When his armor bearer," verse 5, "when his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he also fell on his sword and died with him. Thus Saul died with his three sons and his armor bearer and all his men on that day together." Now, 2 Samuel chapter 1, which goes right on into the next chapter, David learns of Saul and Jonathan. Remember, Jonathan was one of Saul's sons, and David and Jonathan were like best buds. I mean, they had made covenants together, and so now David had just learned about the death of Saul and his sons. Let's see what his feelings were as we look at 2 Samuel chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. "Then David took hold of his clothes and tore them, and so also did all the men who were with him. They mourned and wept and fasted until evening for," watch this, "Saul and his son Jonathan, and for the people of the Lord of the house of Israel, because they had fallen by the sword." Now, it's not fascinating to me that David was mourning for Jonathan, helped protect David from King Saul. It's not fascinating to me that he mourned him. It's not fascinating to me that he mourned for the people of Israel that died, the armies that were with King Saul. But it included that David mourned and fasted for Saul. Now, do you know who Saul is? Saul is the guy that's been chasing him for years, trying to kill him. I don't know about you. Somebody been chasing me, trying to kill me for years and hated me, and I found out he died, I'd break out whatever it is that you like to do to celebrate. And I'd say, "Hey, invite them over. Let's have a party. The king is dead. Now I can be king." That ain't what David did. To me, that's fascinating. I see him lamenting and sad. But you know what? I said, "Lord, I don't understand old David." I said, "I want to be more like him in this area." David, I believe, had a dependence on God's grace and favor. That he really, now, did he blow it? Did he get discouraged? Sure he did, because he wrote about it. But he didn't stay there. He said, "There's something deeper going on here, that I have a trust and a contentment and a dependence on a God who lives inside of me, that I don't have to fight my battles for me. I don't have to worry about becoming king," even though he was told by Prophet Samuel that he would be king many, many years earlier. He just had a dependence on God. In 2019, in my opinion, now listen, if you choose to follow David's advice from Psalm 139, which is where we're going next, David probably wrote Psalm 139 in the midst of a time like where he was in a cave, he is fearful for his life, and yet he said some things that are going to blow your socks off. We touched on a couple of verses back a couple of weeks ago about how we're fearfully and wonderfully made. But we're going to go back and look at the whole chapter now, because David wrote it during some difficult times. So in 2019, if it's going to be the best year of your life, and I believe it can be, if you will start practicing the truths that you hear just today. All right? That's how powerful I believe. And this is right from David. It's not Carlton Rivers. This is David saying, hey, in the midst of the cave, in the midst of being hunted down like a rabid dog, he's saying some things that will blow your mind. And I'm telling you, no matter what you face in 2019, if you will keep the attitude that David had and you'll follow these simple principles, I'm telling you, you'll have the best year you've ever had. Amen? It's yours whether you want to take it or not. Now, you can't experience it if you don't reach out and take it. Okay? All right, here we go. What are some successes from the life of David that you can apply in 2019? First of all, God understands you inside out. Well, I know that, preacher. Well, do you really? God understands you inside out. I believe this is foundational, and you see this in the first four verses of chapter Psalm 139. Look at verses 1 through 4. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You see the inside out? You know when I sit down, when I rise up. You understand my thought from afar. Do you see the foundation that God laid in David's life as the Holy Spirit was writing this through David? No matter what happens to you, God, you're there. That's exactly what he told David. What a powerful truth. If you something jerks the rug out from under you, something unexpected happens in 2019, that in the flesh you have a tendency to get depressed, down, what am I going to do? What if you just take those thoughts captive and you say, God, no matter what has happened here, you're right here. You're right here. When I sit down, you're right here. When I rise up, you're right here. When I blow it and make a mistake and sin like a terrible Christian, you're right here. What if you tell yourself that? You think it'd make a difference? He continues in verse 3 and 4. He said, you scrutinize my path, my lying down, and are intimately acquainted in all my ways. We think God's a big God up here worrying about a cosmic thing, and he takes a peek at Carlton Rivers every now and then just to make sure everything's okay because he's got too much else to do. Can I get you to drop that nonsense? Look at what he said. And are intimately acquainted with when I'm a good Christian. Whoa. What did that say, young people? All my ways. That means when you blow it and you act like a crazy person. Y'all don't ever do that, do you? Do I, Angel? Yes? No? I got a thumbs up. Wow. She's into this thing. Okay. Even before there is a word on my tongue, I might have thought it. I ain't even said it yet. But he said, even before word is even in my brain or on my tongue coming out of my mouth, behold, O Lord, you know it all. The foundation of knowing that God is not surprised by anything that touches your life, good or bad, in 2019, to me, is crucial. That this didn't take God by surprise. He didn't cause it to happen. Most of the time, it's our stupidity that causes some things to happen. Not always. But the sins of others cause bad things to happen to us. God's not orchestrating these things to punish you. It's just sin has its consequences. So if you want to walk in God's success in 2019, number one, God knows you intimately. Second part of God's success, look at this. Number two, God is working in your life all the time. You say, this is elementary, preacher. I know this. But do we really? Many Christians, I believe, and I still catch myself every now and then, as far down this grace trail as I've come, I still catch myself operating under the old covenant. What do you mean, preacher? Well, even the last six verses of chapters 139, to me, is David's thinking from an old covenant standpoint. Now, the verses all the way up, verses 1 through 18 of chapter 139, it's almost like the Holy Spirit, by the way, it's a she. Dan, am I correct about this? It's a feminine noun for the Holy Spirit. He could be a she. Huh? Oh, my word. Some of y'all going to tune me out already. Okay. Anyway, I'm not going there. He or she, God is not on our level. Aren't you so thankful? He's a mom when we need to be a mom. He's a stern father when we need a stern father. He's everything that we need. Let's quit trying to put God in a box and get all freaked out. Well, we got to make sure we put him in. And Christians get mad at you about this topic. I'm not kidding. God is working in your life all the time, but we still operate in the context of the old covenant. But in the last part, and I'm going to jump to this now, okay, because I don't want to end on these verses. I've been accused of saying, well, preacher, you seem to pick out the verses that fit the grace message. You got to take the whole counsel of God. That's how the religious crowd will tell you. That you're just picking verses you want to. Am I skipping over these verses? I'm not, but I'm going to explain to you that the Holy Spirit could not wait to tell David and the Old Testament people and even us, as the Holy Spirit, it will give you discernment as to what verses you need to claim as your own. These are not some verses you need to claim as your own right here. And see if you agree with me. But it doesn't mean we throw it out and we ignore it. It's in the context of the old covenant. Look at verses 19 through 24. He said, "Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God." Does that sound like New Covenant thinking? I believe we're supposed to love our enemies and forgive them. I'm not saying that God is not given a government authority to deal with the crazy people in the countries. God has ordained that, by the way. Okay, this is from my standpoint that I'm to get back that guy that hurt me. That if they hurt me, well, I'm going to hurt them. An eye for an eye. That's not New Covenant. All right, listen to this. "Depart from me, therefore, men of bloodshed, for they speak against you wickedly, and your enemies take your name in vain." And then he says, "Do I not hate those that hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with utmost hatred." Does this sound like New Covenant, y'all? "They have become my enemies." Then he says, I've preached this verse, I don't know how many times, getting people to the altar. That made the preacher feel good when you filled up the altar, by the way. Okay? Doesn't make me feel good anymore. I get concerned if you start coming down here every day and I overhear you saying, "Oh Lord, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there be any hurtful or wicked way in me," some versions say, "and lead me in everlasting way." How many of y'all have come to the altar with that verse in mind? Did you know that this is old covenant? That the Bible says that you've been given a new heart. That you've been cleansed of every sin, that you're pure, that you're righteous, that you're holy. So does that mean, well, I can't use any of this chapter? David clearly didn't have a handle on the new covenant of grace. No, the Holy Spirit gives you discernment. I'm not picking and choosing verses. I just know that this has been trumped by the grace of God. Things have changed. I had a person one time, as I said, that just says, "Oh, you just like to pick verses that back up your point of view." Now listen, that's a good observation from a person that's looking from the outside through the window of the grace house. That's a good observation. You could say, well, he's preaching these verses and never talks about it, but you found out that I take the tough verses too. Just like this, I could have just ignored the last part of the chapter. But I want you to see that the Holy Spirit don't want you to be afraid of verses like this. But these verses are not meant for you to say, well, David hated enemies. Well, if they're against God, I'm going to help God out. You see, the Holy Spirit will pull you back and stop you from going down that road if you're listening to Him. Does that help? Don't be afraid of those verses like that. Your spirit knows, wait a minute, that doesn't align with what I know after the cross, after I understand the new covenant of grace. But when you are in the grace house, you remember that guy that's saying, well, you're just picking and choosing, he's looking through the window of the grace house from the outside. But when you are in the grace house, the Holy Spirit will discern the difference in verses like these. Don't you agree? When the Holy Spirit inspired men to write the Bible, he or she could not wait to point us to the new covenant of grace. Back to people walking in the old covenant. I believe that many think that God withdraws from them when they sin and they can't seem to get their act together. Isn't that what you were taught? That's what I was taught. I used to preach it. I said, you got sin in your life? Until you confess it and get that under the blood, get that back right with God, then you now can expect God to bless you. What a roller coaster of a life. My goodness. Now, and we will even pick passages, like remember we've read that King Saul, let's take him for example. The Bible says that Saul disobeyed God, that he chose not to follow God's plans, and the Bible said that the Spirit withdrew from him, basically withdrew his favor and blessings from God. And that's exactly what he did. Now, I want you to listen very carefully to me about something that I've never said before, but I think we need to hear it. God will never do that to you. He will never leave you or forsake you because the circumstances of how God deals with us changed at the cross. I believe that God is an unchanging God. How many of you believe that? However, He does change how He deals with you and me. He didn't change in who He was, but He made a decision to change how He deals with you and me. Read about it in Hebrews chapter 8, 9, and 10. He said the old covenant is out and the new covenant is in. Thank God. That means that He's now going to deal with us not based on our works and what we do for Him. He made a covenant with Jesus Christ that's called the new covenant of grace. And He said, I'm now going to deal with my people based on my covenant with my Son and the Holy Spirit. And they all made a union together. Aren't you glad the unchanging God changed how He deals with you and me? Do you see what I'm saying? Back to verses 5 and 6. Let's see how He's working in David's life. Now, I want you to listen. Everybody listen and say amen, young people included. Here's how He's dealing in your life also, right now, if you'll listen. Look at verse 5. You have enclosed me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. We are in Christ. He surrounds us. He's not leaving you when you blow it. You don't have to run and hide in the corner when you can't seem to get your act together. And when you might sin and you wish you hadn't done that and you think God is shunning you, and He is not. He, look at this. This was before the cross, but it's truth about the cross and after. And He laid your hand upon you, He enclosed you, He encamped you, circled you. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. Hey, I believe that the more we hear, if we're not hearing news like I'm sharing today, that God changed how He dealt with you and me. Some of y'all got quiet and looked at me. Well, God says He's not changing. He didn't change. He just changed how He dealt with you and me. But anyway, you hear truths and you think, well, wait a minute now. That's kind of what David was saying here. He said, this is just too good, too wonderful for me. It's too high. It's over my head. I can't even attain it. That's what grace does. So when you hear something that sounds too good to be true, don't take the world's advice. Usually the world, what will they say? If it's too good to be, sounds too good to be true, it probably is. Hey, grace is greater than you could ever imagine. So if you're not hearing things that are blowing your socks off from me or from whoever or the Holy Spirit, then you're not listening enough, because grace is much greater and better than you can ever imagine. And I tell you, I just want more of it. In 2019, when the bottom drops out and I'm in a cave worried about a customer or worried about a family member trying to hurt me or to kill me, I want to have a joy and a peace inside that I'm not just so focused out there, that I've got an internal peace that God says, I am for you, who can be against you? I'm telling you, it's ours if we choose it. The tests are going to come. The tests are going to come. Am I right? We just live in a fallen world. We live where sin has its consequences from our own life, from other people, and you're going to run into some bad situations in 2019. The key is it going to suck the joy from you, or are you going to stand on the firm foundation of God's amazing grace and allow Him to be your comfort, to be your strength in times of need. What a word. Look at this. He continues. He says, "Where can I go from your spirit?" See, David knew the Spirit left King Saul. He could have said, "Wow, if I screw up, the Holy Spirit's going to leave me too." But see, God had given him a sneak peek to what's coming. He said, "Where can I go from your Spirit?" Does he sound like he's worried about the Spirit of God leaving him? He said, "Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol," and some versions say hell, "behold, you are there." What a promise. What a promise. When you blow it and Satan says, or others say, "Well, until you get that right, you can't expect God to bless you. You can't expect God to even be with you." You say, "In the name of Jesus, you get behind me, Satan." That is not what the Bible says and teaches. Even when I sin and blow it, and I'm a terrible person, God, you're there. And you need to tell yourself that. All right, number three. What's another way we can walk in God's success, which is your success, by the way? God will guide you if you will just ask and listen. We don't slow down enough to ask sometimes. We want to wallow in our little self-pity, and we want to wallow in our what-ifs, and "I can't believe God allowed this to happen to me." And the whole time, we are ignoring God's advice. Over and over, do I see David get in a mess and not know what to do? He stops and he says, "God, what should I do here?" Look at this. This is huge. You're going to face situations where you need guidance on. You don't know what to do about this family person or this finances or this customer or this boss or this whatever, this health issue. God will guide you if you just listen. Look at verses 9 and 10. "If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand will lay hold of me." 11 and 12. "If I say," this is so big, y'all. I hope you'll go back and meditate these two verses, and for discussion, if you feel like it, I hope you'll re-look at these. "If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light will surround me, will be night." But look at verse 12. He had a sneak peek into what the way God sees things. "Even the darkness is not dark to you, and the night is as bright as day. Darkness and light are alike to you." You say, what does that mean? Oh my goodness, what a word here. "In your darkest hour, it is as bright as day." Well, it certainly don't feel like it. Preacher, this says that this is God's view. I don't have that when the bottom drops out. Oh, really? Don't you listen? You are in Christ. He is not just your helper, some person you call off of the shelf when you need help. He is your life. And whatever He has, you have. Oh my word. If we choose not to believe this truth, then we're going to walk in a man-made success in 2019. And when the circumstances seem dark, that's exactly what you're going to experience. There we go. Tell me that's not a sign. I promise this was not orchestrated by me. Oh my gosh. Hey, listen to this. Don't let the light... Yeah, follow the light. It's okay. 1 John 4... 17, look at this. And I told you, I said that if God has it, if Jesus has it, you have it. Well, that sounds blasphemous. Hey, I'm just preaching the Bible. Look at this. "By this, love is perfected with us, so that," it's talking about Christ, God, the covenant, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. In other words, we think, well, if I ain't got all my sins confessed before judgment day, I'm in trouble. Hey, forget that. Love has already trumped anything that you got to be worried about. Isn't that what that's saying? But now here's the part I want you to see. Because as He is, who's the He? God, Jesus. So also are we in heaven when we get there. Nope. In this world, right now. You got a choice to make in 2019. Whether you're going to pick up on some of this and let the Holy Spirit take these truths and not just transform your head, but to get it to your heart, which is going to flow out through your life and your thinking this in 2019. I mean, we have a choice. This is good news. Now allow me to share one more. Y'all hang with me. Y'all been patient. Number four. Continue to focus on your identity in Christ. I know you hear me say this all the time, but I'm going to keep saying it. Because I'm telling you, there's an enemy that wants to destroy your what you think, who you think you are. He tells you all the time, you blow it and saying you can't seem to get this right, you're not experiencing God's favor and blessings in an area you've been believing Him for, and, well, I guess it's not as good as I... So Satan wants to rob you from who you are in Christ and whose you are. This is, I believe, where the rubber meets the road. It's good to have the head knowledge, but have we allowed it to transform our life? I believe it's a choice. Okay? Look at this. David, sitting in the cave, probably running from Saul. And look at what he's saying. For you form me. I'm going to go through this quickly because I covered it a few weeks ago. For you form my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And then he goes and starts saying things like this. He says, wow, look at old Carl. He understood his identity. He wasn't bragging. You're not bragging if it's truth. Is that what that's saying? Okay. Wonderful are your works. He looked in the mirror if he had had one and said, hi, wow, look at Carl. Do y'all look in the mirror and say, wow. Hey, do you know God's doing that? On an infinite level that you're about to hear, you ain't heard nothing yet. Hang on. He said, wonderful are your works. My soul knows it. This, when it said the word soul, it's not just a head knowledge of, well, okay, yeah, God loves me. No. His very soul knew that God loved him and cared for him and that he wasn't a mistake. Look at verse 15 and 16 as he continues. He said, my frame was not hidden from you. Many of you think you were a mistake. You were no mistake. God knew you before you were ever born. He said, when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth, your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all... In God's, the mind of God, He knew all about you. Your whole life, all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. I want you to notice the last verse that I'm going to leave you with, verse 17 that's coming up, of the importance of knowing what God thinks about you. It's like He drives it home in a way that I've not seen before. And I'm so thankful that I didn't stop on these two or three verses that we use for Sanctity of Life, which is this time of year where we talk about that God knew you before you were ever conceived. You know, they'll say that if you've been conceived in the womb, unless you've been outwardly born, you're not a person. You see, that's not true. It's a lie. Even before you were ever born, God knew. You see what I'm saying? But we sometimes don't go a little further and read the rest of this. But before I read this verse, Jeremiah the prophet said that God is for you, to prosper you, and to give you a future and a hope. Y'all remember that verse? I should have had it on the screen, but I didn't. That's okay. But he's given you a future and a hope. And I say this all the time. If God is for you, if God loves you, who can be against you in 2019? Can I tell you something? God is for you. He wants to bless you beyond what you're willing to believe Him for. I believe he wants to bless us way more than we're willing to believe him for. So believe big. Well, what if I believe, preacher, and as I've done this before, and it hadn't come true? Well, keep believing. Pick something else. I'm just telling you, God wants to bless you. Even if he doesn't give you what you're believing him for, believe him that he's right there with joy, peace, and contentment, whether you get that or not. You see, your blessings and your contentment shouldn't be just on what he gives you and what you see him do. It should be in him himself. Peace and contentment is not that he's getting me out of circumstances. He's giving me this. It's him himself. And when you start looking at verses like this, go ahead and show it, Deanna, that you will begin to trust him and not what he's going to do for you. But then by your trust in him, you will begin to believe him for big things. But if they happen to not come true, so my faith is much bigger than what he does for me, because I know what he has done for me. How precious also are your thoughts to me. Young people, please watch this with me. How precious are your thoughts? This is God talking to you directly. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. You think you love your children? Multiply that by infinity is what David is saying here. He said, if I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I awake, I'm still with you. How precious are your thoughts? That's the subject. Talking about the thoughts that God has for you and me and the world, those that hadn't believed yet. He said, how many thoughts are there? He said, if I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. We could probably sit down and list on two or three pages, probably one, what we think of our closest family member that we love the most. Couldn't you? I mean, well, you'd run out of adjectives, right? Look at God. Does he run out of adjectives? That's how much you're loved, my friend. That's how much he thinks of you. And listen, let it just transform you. But now, when you have somebody that's hurting you, like I believe David understood. Well, he did. He wrote about it, okay? He had this. He didn't want to kill. He wasn't so happy when King Saul died. He lamented and he mourned the man that was trying to kill him. Whew. That's what you call tapping into something we don't usually tap into, right? Well, he was King David. Hey, you have the same Holy Spirit that he had. If anything, it's even more intense now because of the new covenant. Wow. I've given you what God's given me. May it be a blessing to you in 2019.